101.5 FM, online at 1015thehawk.ca.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on 101.5 The Hawk FM. I'm Mary, and tonight my guest is Robbie Crowell. Born in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Robbie has been playing professionally for almost two decades as a touring and session musician on keyboards, bass, saxophone, and drums. Now based out of Nashville, Robbie currently is a member of the band Midland. He's played in bands such as Deer Tick, as well as side projects Diamond Rugs and Vincent Van Gold. He has performed and recorded with a wide variety of artists, including Matt Mays, Bobby Bear Jr. and Sr., Turbo Fruits, Kesha, Buck 65, Middle Brother, Cracker, Camper Van Beethoven, White Lighters, and Matthew Logan Vasquez, amongst many others. So welcome to the show, Robbie.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Thanks for joining. So why don't we start off the show? Maybe we'll start off the show with a song from your band Midland that you're currently on tour with. So let's listen to the song Drinking Problem, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Sounds good.
One more night, one more down, one more round. First one in, last one out. Giving this town lots to talk about, but they don't know, but they don't know. People say I got a drinking problem. That ain't no reason to stop. Saying that I've hit rock bottom, just 'cause I'm living on the rocks. It's a broken heart and thinking problem, so pull my bottle off the wall. People say I got a drinking problem, but I got no problem drinking it all. They keep on talking, drunk conclusions. They call it problem, I call it a solution. Last call gets later and later. I come in here so I don't have to hear same old folks, same old songs, the same old. People say I've got a drinking problem. That ain't no reason to stop. People saying that I've hit rock bottom, just 'cause I'm living on the rocks. It's a broken heart and thinking problem, so pull the bottle off the wall. People say I've got
Drinking Problem by the band Midland, and my guest tonight is Robbie Crowell, who performs. He plays drums in that band. So Robbie, you, that song that we just heard was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards in 2018 for Best Country Song and also for Best Country Duo and Group Performance. So is that a song that you guys play pretty much every show, or what would you say that, like, about that?
Oh, that's absolutely mandatory anytime we play.
And so you're currently on the road with Midland. Where are you now? You're in Texas?
We are doing a private show for frontline healthcare workers here in Dallas, Texas tonight, which is great because we're all vaccinated, and it means the crowd's all vaccinated, and it can be almost a normal thing, you know?
Oh, wow. And so when did you get your vaccination? Was it pretty recent, or? Yeah.
I got my second Pfizer shot about 2 weeks ago.
Wow. It's been pretty much a full year since lockdown happened. So what was that like taking, like, you've been a touring musician for, you know, almost 2 decades. And that's probably the first year I would say that you've been, like, stationary, right?
Yeah, I have never had that much downtime in my life before. I think that was the first time in my life since I was 15 that I went more than maybe a week and a half without playing a show. So,
wow. How did you fill your time during the time off?
Well, I got married right before lockdown happened, and my wife and I basically took a few months and just kayak fished.
That's awesome. And so, yeah, I remember you got married. It was pretty much, you guys went to City Hall and just did a 2-person wedding, right?
Yeah. We knew everything was about to shut down. So we got up on a Friday morning and we realized everything was going to be shut down by Monday. And we had been talking about getting married we realized that there was no end game in sight as far as when we'd be able to do that actually with friends and family. So we got up and called both our parents and told them we were going to get married and went and did it. And then we drove to a Walmart in Kentucky and stocked 3 weeks worth of toilet paper and went home and shut ourselves in.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So you've been living together then. So what kind of music do you listen to at home?
A lot of Tom Waits, a lot of Tom Petty, Wilco. We're both big fans of Nashville artists that I work with, Brian Wright. He gets a lot of play around our house. Yeah, I don't know. We're both kind of musical omnivores. She did sound engineering and also a percussion minor in college, and she tour managed a ton of bands from Jason Isbell to Mazzy Star to Patty Griffin, wow, to Old Steady. I mean, she's just as into music as I am. So,
right.
But
that's cool.
Lately, it's been a lot of Tom Waits and a lot of Tom Petty.
I remember right when lockdown first started, and you did a couple of pretty cool, I don't know what software you were using, but you did a couple of songs where you recorded yourself playing many instruments. I think you did like Ico Ico, you did a song with Bobby Bear Jr., and you did a song with another friend of yours, I think his name was Adam.
Adam Chet. Yeah, he actually plays keyboards for Midland.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Careless Whisper, that was the other one that you did.
He's currently on the other side of the wall from me playing FIFA, I believe.
Okay. Because Robbie's in his tour bus right now, for those that can't see him like I can. How many instruments do you play? You play saxophone, you play drums, you play keyboard, you play bass, you must play guitar, I'm assuming, as well, right?
Can't play guitar at all.
And so what was the first instrument that you started playing first?
I think the first thing I actually started studying and taking lessons on was I started playing a snare drum and a piping drum band when I was in grade 3, and then I started piano lessons in grade 4, saxophone in grade 7, and then it wasn't until I was about 22 or 23 years old that I picked up bass, and that was because I noticed that there was more work than bass players, so it seemed like the logical thing to do.
Right. And I guess, I first met you, I think when you were in Matt Mays's band. And so that was that would have been what, your early 20s?
Yeah, it would have been around 24, 25. Maybe. Right. Yeah.
And then what brought you, so you were living, touring from Canada, and then what brought you down to Nashville?
I was playing with a band called Deer Tick, and I'd been, every time we toured, every time we did anything, it involved me flying down there or driving down there, and it was just a pain in the ass. And I finally decided to make the move to the States to make it easier, and Deer Tick was based out of Rhode Island, and I was never too psyched on moving to Rhode Island just because of what I do. There didn't seem to be a lot of... There's a good music scene, there's a good art scene there, but it's not necessarily based around... session playing or anything like that, which is the sort of thing that I like to do and is also a good income stream. But John, the singer, had just moved to Nashville about maybe a half year before that. Mm-hmm. So he was there, and I had some other friends there that I had met on the road, and I figured that I'd be able to pick up a decent amount of work if I picked Nashville as the city to move to. So I moved on, kind of decided really rapidly. I think I gave the Melatones, the R&B band I played with on Thursday nights when I was home. I think I gave them about a week's notice that I was leaving town.
Oh, no way. So, do you have a studio at your house, or do you normally kind of record and play at other people's studios, or what's that like?
I'm now set up to track at my place. I kind of got that really rolling during COVID because I didn't know how long it was going to be going for, and I knew that remote session work would be a possible income stream. So I've been set up there for a while to record bass or sax or keys, and just over the past month, I'm starting to finally get set up to record drums, which is a lot trickier. You're dealing with a lot more with the sound of your actual room, mm-hmm. So you got to do a lot more prep work and a lot more sort of trial and error, making the drums up, seeing how it sounds, moving things around, all that. That's a bit of a process, but I do track from home. But I also, over the course of COVID, ended up doing a lot of safe, masked, socially distanced studio sessions. I made a record with Todd Snyder that's coming out April 23rd, I think. There's 3 songs out off it already, but the album itself comes out April 23rd. I'm psyched on that because Chad Blake mixed it, and my drums have never, ever sounded so good.
Cool. Do you want to listen to a song of that then? Like one of his 3 songs that's been released so far?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, which one do you want to hear?
I would say Turn Me Loose, I'll Never Be the Same.
Okay, so let's listen to, this is Robbie Crowell talking to me tonight. We're going to listen to Turn Me Loose by Todd Snyder. Todd Snyder, yeah.
That's okay. Nice.
Put your foot on the rock and push it to the good time roll. Put your foot on the rock and push it to the good time roll. To Colonel Bruce Hampton, may he rest the good Lord's soul. That's what them rodeo cowboys would yell when they was ready to go.
Turn me loose, I'll never live the same.
Yeah, that's what rodeo the cowboys used to yell when they was ready to go.
Turn me loose, I'll never live the same.
It's like another way to say Eureka or Geronimo. Well, if faith moves mountains, what's it take to leave them alone? I said if faith moves mountains, well, what's it take to leave them alone? Well, I believe these mountains get it round just fine on their own. Until the tide turns over and I come tumbling down from above. Comes over and come tumbling down from above.
Turn me loose, I'll never pay the same.
I won't be moved by more than sorrow. I'll settle for a less than love.
You turn me loose, turn me loose.
No, you'll never make no difference if all you do is nickel and dime. If all you do is nickel and dime, if we can only help just one person, we're wasting our time. We've got to get to everybody. Got to get to everybody. Got to get to everybody. We've got to get to everybody. Wasting our time.
All right.
We've got to get to everybody. Got to get to everybody. Got to get to everybody. I'm gonna get to everybody. I get to everybody.
That was Turn Me Loose by Todd Snyder. Robbie Crowell is joining me tonight on 101.5 The Hawk on Dangerfield. So Robbie, you just mentioned that you, that was one of your COVID recording, studio recording sessions that you did. And that album comes out in about a week or two. And for those who want to follow Robbie on Instagram, you can find him at instagram.com/RobbieBCrowell, Robbie with an I-E. To follow his music adventures. So Robbie, so you mentioned that was a great studio experience because your drums sounded amazing as you were doing it. What else have been some of your like recording studio highlights from all the different things that you played? Is there a favorite studio that you've ever recorded at?
Probably my favorite studio, at least one of my favorite studios was Arden down in Memphis. It's had some hard times over the past couple of years, but we were there kind of at the tail end of when it was really going, and just being in there and tracking was amazing. We did Deer Tick Volume 1 and 2 in there. And if you don't know Arden, it's an old Memphis studio that was built in the early 70s. Big Star did all the recordings there. The Replacements did a record there. They did Please to Meet Me There. ZZ Top did several of their biggest albums there, including Eliminator. They actually built the C studio at Arden for ZZ Top to do Eliminator. But everyone from them to Bob Dylan to Stevie Ray Vaughan, like there's just been a really incredible amount of great music recorded there. And I got to use Big Star's old Mellotron, which was cool.
Wow. And so when you were there, so how long did it take you to record those albums while you were there? Like
We went down for a couple long stints. I think we went down for 2 weeks the first time and 3 weeks the second time. Mm-hmm. And we just had an Airbnb about a 10-minute walk away from the studio. And I think we spent about 5 weeks down there. That was great. I love Creative Workshop in Nashville too. My friend Parker runs that. His dad built it back in 1971 as one of the first alternatives to Music Row, and everyone from The Faces to Roy Orbison to Waylon Jennings is recorded in there, and the studio has been kept very much the same since the early 70s. They've got the old piano from the Ryman in there, which was also the piano on the Johnny Cash show. And
wow.
It's a lot of high-dollar studios I don't actually enjoy tracking at because they can be really sterile.
Mm-hmm.
I never feel quite comfy in them, but Creative really has a really good blend of great gear and history and legacy, but also is a place where I feel very comfortable stretching out on the couch and taking a nap, you know? I did 3 or 4 tracks with Joel Plaska for his last record in there. He was through Nashville and picked me up and asked if there was a studio in town I really loved. And
that's cool.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun. It was weird because all the time I was in Halifax, Joel and I never played a note of music together. We knew each other, we hung out, but that was the first time we actually played together.
That's so wild. Well, he actually just generously, you know, I work for Boys and Girls Clubs of Canada, and we just did our brand relaunch, and he donated one of his songs for our video. So he's super, super cool of him to support us by doing that. What songs did you track with him there?
I think my favorite one that I played on, I played drums and bass on a couple that we kind of did from scratch in there that I really liked, but my favorite was one that he had started back home called Spinning Out that I overdubbed the piano on, and man, like hearing the final mix on that kind of blew my mind. Like that song's it's a high bar even for Joel, you know?
Cool. Well, let's listen to that. Let's listen to Spinning Out by Joel Plaskett that you played on in Nashville. So let's do that.
Thank you.
That was Joel Plaskett, songs called Spinning Out. I'm joined tonight by Robbie Crowell and Dangerfield. And Robbie is from Fredericton and living currently in Nashville. And that was a song that he played on when Joel Plaskett was down in Nashville. That's pretty cool. So are there people that's interesting that you were kind of, so you've been playing with Canadians down in Nashville. And have you been home to Canada at all lately? Or is it, I guess not because of COVID, but before that, like, do you get back often?
Before that, the last time I had been to Halifax was for Mike Campbell's 65th birthday, which was the February before. Mike was having a big birthday party, and I wished I could make it. And, like, I had some gigs that weekend, so it was a no-go. And then, like, 2 days before it happened, those gigs got canceled, and I just found a cheap flight and made my way home. Because Mike is the best. I mean, for anyone that doesn't know Mike, he's one of the Mikes from Mike and Mike's Cross Country Adventures that used to be on Much Music, and he's a really great show promoter and show booker and just facilitator of music in Halifax now. And a devout Tom Petty fan, as befits his name.
Nice. What's your favorite Tom Petty song?
Oh man, right now it's You Got Lucky.
Cool. And so you're on tour right now with Midland, and so you're their drummer, and you were never really like you kind of focused more on playing keys and bass before you joined this band, correct? Like, were you hadn't really played? Have you played drums with any other bands before?
I played drums with a bunch of bands in Halifax before, I did like a minor, like a directed study in drumming while I was studying saxophone at Saint FX. Okay. So it's just one of those things that just kind of. I was doing sessions and whatnot, but not a lot of live stuff for a long time. And then I left Deer Tick in December 2016, and this gig came up in January 2017. So I decided to be a drummer again.
Yeah, and you've had so with that band, you've had some pretty incredible touring experiences. So you supported Casey Musgraves, I believe, for a tour. Is that correct?
It was us and Casey in Little Big Town, yeah. Which is, I mean, that...
Like a triple bill, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really fantastic group of people to be around for that tour. Just all the crew, all the musicians, everyone from that whole team was...
Yeah.
Was fantastic.
And what was the biggest... I think I've seen some photos of some of the venues you've played, and the crowds are just massive. What was the biggest venue that you guys played?
Heinz Field with Garth Brooks. They oversold that, and I think there was 82,000 people there.
Wow. And what's that like? So, like, when you're on stage and there's, like, 80,000 people, like, cheering at you, is that just, like, a force, like, a wave of sound at you? Or, like, and what's that emotion like?
That night's a bit of a blur because we had done a fair few arenas and stadiums, but that, even considering that, that kind of dwarfed anything else, and that show is just an absolute blur to me.
Wow.
Like,
Garth Brooks is like, he's played, I know my dad always talks about him playing a show in Ireland, venue, but it's like the biggest venue possible in Ireland, and, He's well loved there. That's for sure.
He is one of the nicest people in the business. Cool. I know. Even when we played with him once, he walked into our backstage. He knew who everyone was. He knew what they did. He knew something about their musical history.
Wow.
Like, I remember he looked at me and he goes, "And you're Robbie, and you play drums, but I heard you play bass and keys and saxophone too, right? And you used to play with indie bands, is that right?" And Garth Brooks and Vince Gill are the two people I have never, ever, ever heard a bad word about as long as I've been in Nashville. Like, those two are just apparently the kindest. best people ever run into.
What was his kind of like? I don't know enough about the start of his career. So did he have like a quick build, or was it like, what was his like history like? Like did he just kind of explode, or what was his? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know too much about that. I think he got big fairly quickly, and he's just never really had a dip. I mean, there was the Chris Gaines thing. But I
was just going to ask about that. Did you get any insight into the Chris Gaines?
I kind of like that record.
Yeah. For those who don't know, this is when Garth Brooks put out an album as like his alter ego, right? Chris Gaines? Mm.
Yeah, an Australian pop star, I think, was the story.
Have you ever thought about putting out an album, Ravi, as your alter ego? And who would your alter ego be?
Oh man, I don't know. I've never thought too much about that, because I think the whole Chris Gaines thing put me off that idea pretty hard. No one really knows who I am in the first place, so I don't think I need necessarily.
I just remember like the image of the album cover with his kind of like emo swoop before emo, like of the hair, and it was like the kind of shadowy cover. I'm gonna have to revisit that after we chat.
Man, that album is pretty good though. You should look up Donald Glover. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he covered one of those songs a while ago.
Really?
And it's like that kind of tipped me to going back and listening to that album again, because I heard that and it's like, that's actually a pretty good, like, actually it's the most stuff I'm hearing on any of the radio stations right now. Like,
right. And I wonder, like, I have to look into it more, but was oftentimes when artists put out, you know, an album that's that vastly different, often it's like some sort of retaliation or something against the label. But I guess this was just, you know, I have to look that up more about what the story is behind all that.
He was having fun, honestly. Yeah. Like, he's known as someone that has always handled his own business. Like, he is his own business. He oversees it. So I don't think he had any gripe against himself at that point.
Right. And so Nashville's been through a lot in the past. I think at the start of COVID, or right before COVID hit last year, that was when that band, I think I met them through you, Okie Dokie, was in Toronto and staying with us. And that was the day the tornado hit.
Yeah.
Their homes was actually impacted by it. Jeremy's house. What's that been like? How was that? Did that impact? I think that impacted. Like, was it the exit in the bar there as well that got hit by it, or the basement? Was it the basement?
Yeah.
And so, what's the recovery been like for the city?
The Basement East has been rebuilt, and I'm really happy about that, because Grimey, Michael Grimes, who owns it, he's an absolutely integral part of the Nashville music scene, especially the independent music scene. He was one of the first people to go into East Nashville back when it was kind of a, you know, you didn't want to hang out in East Nashville. And he opened a bar called Slow Bar originally, which is where the Three Crow is now in Five Points. And, you know, immediately live music there, you know, and really like amazing players started out going through there. And then he opened the Basement with his record store above it, Grimey's Records. And then he opened up the Basement East, which is a larger venue. But I mean, his places have been just absolutely essential to like the development of independent music in Nashville. You know, he's given a lot of people a home there and given a lot of people a start there. And everyone loves that place. I mean, Metallica did a show at the Basement, which holds like 150 people. And I put out a record, Metallica Live at the Basement.
Wow.
I mean, that room is just incredible. It's tiny, but it sounds amazing. And people that play there know how good it sounds. Like, I remember when Jim James was first starting to kind of feel out his solo career, before he really kicked it off. He did a secret show at the basement.
Jim James from My Morning Jacket, yeah?
Yeah. Those guys are starting up again, which I'm glad to see.
Oh, good. Yeah, and he has such a beautiful voice. You know what? Interesting story. So you did an album with Kesha. Is that correct?
I played on two of the tracks on Rainbow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she's...
She's not what you would expect. She is one of the raddest people I've met.
Cool.
And buried me on Iggy Pop trivia and Stooges.
Really?
And stuff like that. Is really good friends with Eagles of Death Metal. Like, mm-hmm. she's a character, and she's very cool, and she's a great singer. Like, in the studio, she did not miss. So
that's cool. I remember when you did that.
Well, one of the songs I recorded with Kesha was a song that her mom originally wrote that was a huge hit for Dolly Parton.
No way.
Yeah. Her mom's a really, really great songwriter. Kesha's Nashville. She's born and raised. And, so Kesha decided to re-record it as a duet with Dolly.
What? And you played on that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She hired this band that I played with sometimes called Steelism, which was a really great instrumental sort of Booker T and the MGs meets Dick Dale sort of outfit around Nashville. Their pedal steel player actually plays with Miranda Lambert, and he and I did our first tour of the U.S. together. He was playing with Dead String Brothers, and I was playing with Matt Mays.
No way.
We were opening for them for our first U.S. tour, yeah. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, cool. Let's listen to that. What's the song called?
The song is called Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle to You.
Okay, so let's listen to that. Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle to You. This is Robbie Crowell joining me. He plays on this song, and it's a duet by Kesha and Dolly Parton.
I saw an old friend, someone who I used to take comfort from long before I met you. I caught a spark in his eyes, a forgotten desire. But oh,
That was Old Flames That Can't Hold a Candle to You. That Robbie Crowell, who's joining me tonight, plays on that. And that's a duet by Kesha and Dolly Parton. So Robbie was just talking about playing on that song and how it was originally written by Kesha's mother. And it became a big hit. So actually, that's an interesting thing on duets. Is there ever a song that you kind of have heard that's maybe you've imagined as a duet? Like you'd be like, oh, this song would sound better as a duet, or with, like, do you ever hear songs and kind of like imagine other people interpreting them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I try to make that happen if I can in my own weird way. So I know I managed Newport Folk Festival 1 year to make something happen that I always wanted to hear, which was Robert Ellis and Erica Wennerstrom from Heartless Bastards duetting on Islands in the Stream with Deer Tickets.
So that was that at one of the after shows, or was that on the main stage?
That was at an after show, yeah.
Yeah.
I had like 3 o'clock in the morning when I was hanging out with Robert and Erica and forced it to take place the next day.
So then do you write, Robbie, do you write your own music, like when you're at home and stuff, or do you prefer to kind of write around other people's songs?
I mean, I write some stuff. It's usually weird enough that I write it, demo it, and then bury it.
Do you archive it though anywhere, like on your computer, or do you keep track? Like over the years, would you say that you have, like, have you collected stuff that you would be able to go back and say, oh, I wrote this for myself 10 years ago kind of thing, or?
Oh, yeah. I've got demos and bits and pieces and everything kind of all on a hard drive. And some of the stuff kind of makes its way out occasionally. A couple things made it onto the Vincent Van Gogh record I did with Dennis from Deer Tick and Adam Landry, who's a good friend and a great producer and guitar player and songwriter and everything else. So,
cool. Do you want to listen to a song off of that album?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I guess The Invisible Man would be... That's one that I had... Order's done, and Adam and Dennis finished off, so.
Cool. Let's listen to that.
The afterthought of the hour, redundancies we frame at a party. Yeah.
that song's actually called Imaginary Friends by Vincent Van Gold. Vincent Van Gold's made up of Dennis Michael Ryan from Deer Tick, Robbie Crowell, who's my guest tonight, and Adam Landry. And would you say when people contact you to play, like, are you given the song in advance and then you kind of you come up with your own ideas for it, or how does that usually work?
It varies. Most of the time you'll just hear the song for the first time when you go into the studio, and then it's just, you know, get your work done on the spot really fast as far as parts go. But some people, I'm prepping right now to do an album with Parker Gisbert, who is the singer from the Wigs.
Yeah. Singer from the Wigs, yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun because Parker's a good bud, and everyone in the band is friends. So we're getting together like once a week to rehearse like a band.
We'll
go into the studio. It'll be very, very much ready to go.
He's got a great voice. He actually came through Toronto. He was opening for Matthew Logan Vasquez band. So
he
met the Drake when they were in town. Yeah, he's very talented. I think he was just solo then. He wasn't playing with the full band. It was just him solo.
Yeah, he made a kind of acoustic record a while ago. Now he's looking to get back to rocking, which is great. I'm playing bass with him, and it's a good time. I love him as a human and a friend and as a musician, you know. So I'm real happy to be there. He's awesome. He actually just moved in right down the street from me.
No way. That's cool. That's handy.
Yeah, we'll be able to hang out. We're both vaccinated, so
that's awesome. What do you have planned for the end of the year? You guys are going to Australia, is it, with Midland, or is that in the fall?
UK and Europe in the fall.
Oh, UK and Europe, okay.
Maybe Australia, I don't know. I really guess with that part of it, especially with COVID right now, it's like even what's going to happen in a month is very, very fluid right now, so I try not to plan too far in advance.
And so you mentioned that you're playing a show tonight in Texas for frontline workers, for healthcare workers, and you played a couple shows as well leading up to this?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Were your first kind of three shows back, or three or four shows back since COVID, like for an audience?
We've been out for a few weekends now, actually. Ooh. We did three weekends of socially distanced gigs at minor league ball fields, where the field was kind of roped off into little six-person pods, and the stands were all kind of roped off, and, you know, people couldn't get too close to the stage, and so we did a few weekends of that, and then tonight and tomorrow we've got these shows for the frontline healthcare workers, and Big Boy's opening up, which is awesome. I'm sorry.
Nice. Who's the kind of, with all your touring, like, who's the kind of, like, have you met like any of your heroes or someone that you've been like totally in awe of through your travels?
It's happened a few times. With Maze, we opened for and met Levon Helm, which was insane. Met Paul Westerberg, recorded with Tommy Stinson. I mean, there's been a lot of them, and usually the ones that really get me aren't the super famous people so much as the people that have just like really had a hand in making music that I really, really respect. Like I met Willie Weeks a while back through a friend, and that I didn't know what to say because he's just an absolute giant. He was the bass player on Donny Hathaway Live, which for me is one of the absolute benchmarks of, you know, R&B bass playing.
Cool.
And I was scared to death when I met him, whereas like whatever country of the week doesn't really out too much, you know.
Right. Didn't you, when you were with Deer Tick, didn't you back up like Nirvana or something? Didn't you guys?
We did the Deervana shows, like where we'd do all Nirvana covers, and then John ended up basically playing Kurt to Dave and Chris for the after show after the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
And then what was your favorite Deervana song to play?
Scentless Apprentice.
Nirvana playing Nirvana's Scentless Apprentice at the Brooklyn Bowl, September 2013. And what's the album that you think you have maybe listened to the most in your whole life? Like, what's your kind of comfort album or an album that you have revisited more than any?
Man, that's a really hard call. I kind of go in weird phases and waves with that. I'd say maybe Joni Mitchell, Shadows and Light.
Nice. Well, Robbie, thank you so much for joining tonight. It was so nice to catch up. It was nice to see your face over Zoom. I always love your funny. For those who want to check out Robbie's Instagram, you must, because it's Robbie Crowell. It's Robbie, R-O-B-E-I-E, and then it's Robbie B. Crowell, right?
Yep.
C-R-O-B-E-I-E.